Hi, welcome to the 8th episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to share a quick story about something that Andrew and I don't have in common. So, if you haven't noticed that Andrew did a special episode on Scooby-Doo, that's because he is really obsessed with Scooby-Doo, and he asked me if I liked it, and I said no, because I could literally care less about Scooby-Doo. But I think he did a really good job. And his co-host did a good job, too, so you should go listen to it.
Aw, oh, thanks. I You're appreciate welcome. That. Alright, so this is the part of the show where we give a weekly recap, but it's been more like 2.5 weeks, so I guess we get to pick out the cream of the crop. I'll start us off. The Friday after our last episode, I was able to catch up with a friend from Kansas City, and we met up halfway in Clinton, Missouri. And so we were like trying to find a place to go to, and she recommended this Chinese restaurant. And because it's like a smaller town, and I guess people aren't like, they don't know the importance as much of using, like, Google Maps or, like, having your business, like, present on Google Maps, because they're used to just having local clientele come in all the time, because you live in the town, you know, like, where everything is. You don't need to rely on the internet for that stuff. And so I was trying to find it on Google Maps, and it wasn't there, and I ended up having to, like, text her and call her and get the information, but apparently, like, the information for this Chinese restaurant was only on Google, like, not on Google Maps.
What?
And then we, like, walk into the restaurant, and we're, like, looking at the menu, and then a waitress comes in, and she's like, oh, here, go this way. And she, like, takes us to a table in another room, and then she sits us down, and she's like, what do you guys want to drink? And she, like, brought us, like, the beverages we asked for, and then she left, and we were like, okay, so there's a sign about a buffet, but usually these places, like, they offer either a buffet or you can still get from the menu at lunchtime. And so we were waiting for her to come back. It wasn't happening. And after a while, we, like, flagged her down. She's like, oh, no, you just go up. But I thought that was kind of funny because it was, like, this, like, small-town culture. And I feel like we were the first people from the outside that have been in that restaurant in a long time. It was good food, though. It was good food.
That's an interesting story. Thanks for sharing.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying. Wow, back off.
I thought that was interesting as in that was a bad story.
You'll never know.
I won't. But then we went to the county courthouse, which was on the square, and on the inside looked like the government building on Parks and Rec.
Nice.
Pawnee Municipal Building. Yeah, large wooden doors, so that was cool. We had a Bob Ross paint night
a few weeks ago,
and we watched Bob Ross on Netflix, and we all had canvases and paints, and we argued for a bit on what painting we actually wanted to do.
Yeah, it took so long. You guys were making me so mad, and I was like, I'm about to just pick something because I'm tired of asking for people's opinions.
Yeah, I also on art projects, I always take a lot longer because I'm like a perfectionist.
Oh my gosh.
So I ended up like rewinding the episode and replaying half of it twice.
Yeah.
And
I heard Bob Ross say, if we don't take care of these animals, nobody else will. Three times I cried like by the third time because I was so like connected to him at that moment.
So inspirational. But our paintings turned out good. They're...
Well, not mine.
But it was a nice volcano. Decent volcano. Where is I going with this? Oh, yes. So then the following day, we went to Molly's Pickle Party.
Heck yeah.
There's various pickle themed foods. There's pickle fries, pickle dip, pickle soup. Why are you looking at me like that? But it was really well done. I enjoyed it. There's trivia questions and all that. But I was telling my mom about it, and she brought up this book, like this children's book that we had growing up, called Pickle Things. And it was written by the guy that wrote the Arthur books,
Mark Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Love him.
But, and she like sent me a picture of the cover of the book for some reason, and I was like, I forgot, but the way he draws pickles are, they look like turds. They're like green turds.
Well, they do kind of like look like warty poops.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So I could see that. Anyway, go on.
So yeah, if next time you're at your local bookstore, get Pickle Things by Mark Brown.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay, I won't. And various assignments had to get done this past week. And the last thing I will say is I've realized that I'm very bad at handling crisis situations.
Oh, like, yikes.
So, like, when I see, like, something coming up that's, like, about to, like, injure someone or, like, not, like, seriously, but, like, you know, like, that could result in embarrassment or just, like,
oh, okay.
a minor affliction, I kind of just, like, my eyes get real big and I panic, kind of, and I, like, don't know how to communicate to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that one time you were getting out of my car and I saw the door was, like, falling on you.
Yeah,
or like shutting
didn't
on you.
Tell me.
No, I just like kind of made noises like, ew.
And then the door like sandwiched me into the car. Yeah.
And then you got mad at me. But we were at this carnival the other night, and we were with two of our friends, and they were talking about how they recognized these people, but they didn't know where from. And as this conversation was continuing, those people were like right behind them. And I didn't know how to communicate to them that the person was right behind them. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he heard them. But eventually, it like, kind of, they realized that he was, like, a yard behind them. And one of them, like, walked away. She just, like, completely exited the conversation mm-hmm. and went to the other side of the carnival. So I'm going to practice warning people of imminent danger. That's my...
Do you want to update our listeners about your procedure?
No.
Wow, rip.
It went well. I'm good.
That's a very, what's that word, like?
Vague.
Yeah.
Ambiguous.
Okay, well, do you have anything else to share?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. I was looking at you like that because I also wanted to talk about the pickle party and the painting night, and I did it. And then I was like, well, he's, like, giving, like, everything away, so I really hope doesn't, like, give away too much because, like, I also wanted to share.
Well, you're more social than me, so you have...
That's true, yeah.
...more situations to talk about.
But, yeah, so the Bob Ross painting, that was really fun. Greg's abstract... creation was amazing.
So it was like a mountain scene that we were trying to paint.
Yeah. We don't really know what happened to Greg. He like started painting landscape, but then like changed to horizontal, like or vertical, sorry. Like halfway through, and so it was just kind of crazy. I also got P-Whip that day earlier that day with my friends Jacob and Shonda. My first time having P-Whip for the season. So I was really excited because I love Pineapple Whip. Hit me up if you ever want to go. And then, yeah, the pickle party was the next day, and I won the best pickle dish at the party with my pickle soup. It was amazing. Again, hit me up if you want pickle soup. I will make it. It's award-winning. and then also, I went to an albino farm. It's, like, called the albino farm or something. They were either albino people at one point or albino animals. I'm not really sure what the deal is, but it's, like, haunted. And it's kind of in ruins now. So me, Molly, Grace, and Elvie adventured out there. It's kind of creepy. Not too crazy, though. I was expecting to, like, see some, like, old albino homeless person, like, crawl out of one of the, like, torn-down houses and be like, and
like, oh my.
So I was a little disappointed, but it's okay. Yeah, then I have recently started running again, which is really exciting. I was trying to do 10 miles a day. I mean, no, 10 miles a week. Very big difference there, but I hurt my knee, so I might be out for a little bit, which is really sad.
Out of commission.
I know, I just started, like, geez. and then I also was celebrating my friend Grace's birthday today and last night, so that was really fun. And then also real quick, I need to give a shout out to my XLT kids who started a podcast because they were inspired by our podcast.
Aww.
If you're listening, thanks. Check out their podcast. It's called like Just Dudes. So yeah, just kids being kids. It's not that much of a commitment because it's like 6 minutes long and it's just usually them being silly. So it's really funny. And then also another fun story from work. I made macaroni and cheese using a bathroom hand dryer for one of the kids. It was quite an experience. I don't realize how much working with children has changed me in the sense of like my amount of patience that I have in life, because I asked this kid 3 times if I could just microwave his macaroni for him and he was like no, and like just me, I just like stood underneath the hand dryer and like kept trying to cook the noodles. So yeah, I am a lot more patient, a lot more loving. Children change you.
Maternal Manuela.
Just call me Mom. My friends used to call me Momwella.
Momwella.
But yeah, I think that's all that I have for this week.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Sounds like a good week. So our special guest today is my roommate, Craig Birnbaum.
Woo! Craig!
He is going to talk about Star Wars.
Yes, indeed. Star Wars, best series ever created, best series known to man.
So, what do you have to say? Start us off.
So, Star Wars, like, if you're going to watch it, you got to start with the original trilogy, right? Like, I don't care what the chronological order of the episodes is, you got to start with A New Hope, episode 4. And you just got to work your way through episode 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy. And honestly, you can just stop there, really. Like, you don't have to go to the prequels if you don't want to. I mean, they'll give you a little bit of background, but there's always, like, the pain of seeing young Anakin Skywalker and just some terrible acting. Episode 3 kind of had some redemption, you know, a lot of action, some good CGI, but yeah, you could just stick to the original trilogy. If you're really feeling like some adventure, you could always, you know, try the new Star Wars movies they've made. Episode 7, when I originally saw that, I wanted to pull my hair out. It was
wait, hang on. So, I've never seen Star Wars before, and I don't even know, like, the general plot, or, okay. Like, okay. I don't know anything about Star Wars, so can
Star
you, like,
Wars
tell
recap.
Me
All
some
right.
stuff?
Yeah.
I know that there's Darth Vader, he's, like, the bad guy, but doesn't he turn good? I don't know. Also, if you've never seen Star Wars, spoiler alerts, but also, if you haven't seen it, are you ever gonna see it? Because that's kind of how I feel.
If you haven't seen the original trilogy by now, then you're just missing out, and... Spoilers will fly, so here we go.
Okay, well, just tell me something so that I'm not completely lost in this whole okay. segment.
Alright, so episode 4, you got, like, these two factions. You got the Empire, which is, like, this big, evil government of the galaxy. And then you have the Rebellion, which is, like, a group that's broken off from the Empire. They're trying to fight to restore the Old Republic, which is a democracy. And you got the Jedi, who are these Force users, and the Force is like this mystical religion that binds all objects together, and it takes two forms, light and dark. So the Jedi are the light side. And then there's these Sith, who are the evil side of the Force, dark side. And the Sith are on the side of the Empire, and the Jedi are on the side of the Republic, or the Rebellion. And...
Wait, so the Empire's the good side?
The Empire's the bad side.
Oh.
Following pretty well.
So.
Okay, wait, so the Rebellion is good?
The Rebellion's good.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why I got confused.
No, it's understandable. So, the Empire is led by this evil emperor.
Darth Vader?
No.
Oh.
His name's Emperor Palpatine.
Okay.
And he has his enforcers, Darth Vader. They're both Sith. And Darth Vader used to be like this Jedi, but he turned to the dark side. More on that is like, talk about in the prequels, For now, though, we'll just keep going with episode 4. So Darth Vader had these, like, two children, but we all know they were his children. We just, like, see them introduced, and
Luke.
It's later revealed that they're his kids. Yes. And it's a giant plot twist, and if you were raised in, like, the 70s, and you were in the theater at that time, you would have lost your mind, but,
Luke, I am your
father. Yeah, like, I...
No one knows.
That's all I know.
I never saw Star Wars... Did I say Star Wars? Star Wars until my sophomore year of college.
Walmart versus Target. Sorry.
Walmart v. Target. Yeah, and even I knew that. I was an uncultured kid.
Pop culture, yeah. Star Wars, everything about it.
Wait, so why are you so interested in Star Wars? So like, what was the appeal?
Oh, I've been raised on Star Wars. My whole,
so. Okay, sorry. I wasn't.
But yeah, like, my dad and grandpa introduced me to Star Wars when I was like 6 or 7.
Cool.
So, yeah, I still remember when, like, the third movie came out in 2005. I was like 8 years old. I really wanted to see opening day, but my parents were like, no, we're on vacation. We were in California at that time. I'm like, no, you're gonna wait. And I was really whiny. But eventually we saw it like the third or fourth day it was out. And...
wow, you had to wait that long to see it. Wow.
Impatient little Craig. 8 years old. Couldn't wait. As opposed to the new one, I think I waited like 2 weeks to see it.
Because, like, you didn't want to see it?
Yeah. The last one that came out, episode 8, after seeing the 7th one, I was just like, I don't really care anymore. And episode 8, made episode 7 look like a 5-star rated movie or something, because... I just did not like the 8th one at all. So,
are you going to watch the 9th one?
I'm thinking maybe just boycotting Star Wars at the moment.
Oh.
bold move.
Wait,
I might see the Han Solo movie, because it's not part of the sequel trilogy. I did like Rogue One when that one came out in between the 7th and 8th one. But as far as the sequels go, I just don't like the plot they've chosen, and I think the characters are really weak developed. But I don't know. Do you want me to keep going with the?
I have another question.
Everything or
you? Or yeah, ask questions.
How do you feel about it being taken over by Disney?
So originally, I had some hope for Disney. I thought they'd get like a writing team together and brainstorm, kind of like they did with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Where they've had, like, the same mastermind committee overseeing all the movies. But they completely butchered that idea and decided to hire a bunch of different directors and writers who weren't connected at all in the making of these movies. Not even, like, the 7th and the 8th one had the same exact crew on them, so...
Oh, wow.
And they also chose not to write the whole... the whole script for all three movies in the trilogy. So, they haven't even written the script for... They haven't completed the script for the 9th one yet. Or, if they did, they did just recently. So, they filmed the whole 7th and the whole 8th episode without even knowing how the 9th one was going to end.
Oh, wow.
So, it was like, no continuity at all.
Yeah.
Because they're passing the script around. It's kind of like... playing one of those games where, like, someone writes the first part of the story, and then you pass the book to someone else, and they write a little bit.
Wow, rip Star Wars.
And...
rough goings.
Yeah, so, that just really, when I heard that was how they were writing the movies, my hope level just went down the drain, and going to the theater, it, yeah, just got completely shot out of the sky, so, for, like, mainstream themes, fans, though, mainstream fans, they, like, really will probably like it, because they're good movies if you just consider it, like, a movie. But if you consider it as, like, the whole franchise and, the books and everything like that, the continuity of it is not there at all, so it really takes a toll if you're a hardcore fan. you can't argue though. Like, they're well put together, good effects. They do have a good storyline. It just doesn't mesh. There's a lot of continuity issues with the whole franchise. So if you're just like a casual moviegoer though, it's a good movie, and Disney obviously loves it because it's making them huge bucks.
Yes.
So they're gonna keep doing it, and they don't really care about the hardcore fans at this point. They're just making money. So.
Mm.
So this isn't related to the new trilogy, but in the prequels, what are your thoughts on the Jar Jar Binks Sith Lord theory?
Oh, well, I mean, that one's kind of been shot out of the sky right now since the eighth episode and the revealing of, well, I guess they didn't really reveal who Snoke was, but, I'm pretty sure that theory just started as a joke, and then some people who didn't know that much, kind of picked it up as something serious, but there were a lot of fan theories out there about who Snoke was in episode 7 and 8, and if you've seen episode 8, then you'll know that doesn't really matter. Spoiler alert, because do you want me to spoil it, Andrew?
You said spoiler alert, go for it.
Have you seen the 8th one, though?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they chop him in half, so they kill him.
Wait, Jar Jar Binks?
No, they chop...
Oh, I don't even know who that is. Wait, is Jar Jar Binks the one that looks like a slug?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
His character, like, no one liked at all in the prequels.
What does it always say? Misa something?
Oh, yeah, he's kind of annoying.
Yeah, he's the annoying, supposed to be comedic relief, but really everyone just wants to punch him in the face, so I don't know if you'd call that comedic relief, but...
That's funny.
Yeah, he's completely useless to the plot in the first three films, so... And then we never hear from him again in the fourth, and obviously, because they created him the prequels, which were filmed after the originals, so... There's no way for him to be in the originals, so... Yeah, though. Fan theories, they completely shot him out of the sky, though, for the 7th and 8th, and probably the 9th. They're not really giving the fans anything. Like, with Rey and her parentage and the 8th film, there are a bunch of fan theories, like, ooh, who are her parents? Like, is she Luke's daughter? Because the 7th one really made it into that, like, oh, maybe there's a connection there. But no connection there. Maybe she's, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi's bloodline. No connection there. Well, so, who is she? And the 8th one just says, you know, she's a nobody. She's an outsider completely. Which is alright, I guess, if you didn't already hint at she's somebody. But you already built it up. So you're just going to let all these fans' hopes die? Yep, we are. Because we're going to send the message that anyone can be a Jedi. It's like, okay, sure, great, that works, whatever.
Is that not true?
There's no evidence against it in the originals, but...
Wait, are they books or are they just movies?
Oh, they're books too.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of books.
Have you read the books?
I've read some of the books. I have not read all of them.
Okay.
There's a good author named Timothy Zahn that wrote quite a few. So, yeah, if you're listening to this and you're wanting to get more into Star Wars and you think that the sequel trilogy is really good, you should definitely look up Timothy Zahn's original plan for the storyline after episode 6 and see what you think of that, because I tend to really like that storyline.
Or any of the characters.
When Disney bought it, they completely threw it all away.
Not even the same characters like Kylo Ren and Rey and all of them, they're not?
No, they're not in it. Okay. Han Solo and Leia did still get together, and they had kids, but Kylo Ren was not their kid.
Interesting.
He, he did not exist. I think their kid was actually called, like, Anakin Solo or something. They had a couple kids, but Anakin was one of them. Anakin Solo. They named after Anakin Skywalker, Leia's father. So, but yeah, they didn't have a kid named after Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Gotcha.
So, what's the question that you always ask
me? If you could share one thing in the world about Star Wars to everybody, what would it be?
Oh, man. I'd have to go with a Yoda quote for that.
Ooh.
So, in episode 5, there's this cool Yoda quote where Yoda says, do or do not, there is no try, when he's training Luke. And that's like, just a really big quote, I guess. Like, it's probably thrown around quite a bit, and people aren't really sure where it's from. But, yeah, it's just a cool quote.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. Thanks for sharing your knowledge of Star Wars.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand it a whole lot still, but that's okay.
No, it's all good. You just gotta watch them. That's the only way to get it.
Okay, one of these days. All right, well, let's move on to our next segment, which is our drink segment, which Craig will join us for if he chooses. I lost the big bottle. I don't know where it's at.
Oh. I pointed at it, but I thought you saw it.
I didn't see you point. I don't even, it might be a twist off. Okay, it's not.
Got my list of adjectives in front of me.
Also, while we're kind of... Oh, never mind.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking... Sorry, it smelled... I thought it smelled weird. We're drinking Shiner Ruby Redbird.
Ruby Redbird?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of it before?
I have not.
That's okay. And also, Andrew was drinking out of a measuring cup because he didn't want to do dishes.
That's right.
In case anyone was wondering, even though you can't really see us here.
We could all be wearing dunce caps or something. No one would know.
Okay.
Top that off. All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Can't even hear the plastic.
Oh, this is super carbonated.
Yeah. Tastes pretty good, though.
This doesn't taste like what I remembered it to taste like.
Pogent. Steely.
Do you even know what those words mean? Okay, so I
know what it is. This is pogent.
Okay, so it says, enjoy a Shiner Ruby Redbird. Ruby red grapefruit from the Rio Grande Valley, Texas. Brewed with Texas Ruby red grapefruit juice and with natural and ginger flavors added. For best results, serve ice cold. This refreshing brew is made with juice from the freshly picked Texas Ruby Red grapefruits.
I do not recommend. Craig.
It tastes just like beer with ginger.
Yeah?
Like.
A bold kick of ginger flavor combines with the tartness of the citrus for the tasty brew that's perfect any time of the year.
That'll get you.
That's a good description. There's a little bit of tartiness to it as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Tarty, right. Ginger, beer.
There's nothing finer than a Shiner.
Spokeswoman right here.
I'm just reading from the bottle.
Alright, so for our pop culture segment today, we are going to talk about a show called Dreamland that our friend Zeke recommended. It's currently on
Shout
Netflix.
Shout out to Zeke.
Yeah. Good old Zeke. It's currently on Netflix if you want to watch it. And it's basically about city planners, which is what me and Zeke are majoring in.
Oh, is that your major?
Yeah.
I feel like you say that a lot on the show. I'm majoring in city planning.
Do I?
Anyways, I don't know. Maybe
so
I just hear you talk about it.
It takes
a lot.
Place in an office in Australia. And I guess down there they call planning nation building. So it's like for this government, or this department of the government called the Nation Building Authority. And it's really fun. I think it's really funny because everyone's kind of just in their own little world about, like, it kind of like The Office, how people, like, you have these unique personalities and they're, like, always, like, messing with each other, like, doing stupid stuff. It's kind of like that, except on this show, it's not so much about, like, the relationships between the characters. It's just, like, the weirdness of the, like, their personalities, like, alone. Like, not, the weirdness isn't in their interacting with each other. Did I explain that?
Yeah, that was a pretty good. Agree? Yeah. What did you think of the show?
I like it.
Why?
I enjoy the humor. It's like one of those, like, I don't know how you
I thought this was my drink.
The quote jar. But it's kind of like one of those cyclical humor styles where, like, at the beginning of a scene, like, someone's, like, talking about something, and then by the end of the scene, like, it's referenced again. And it's just, like, very reliant on, like, the weird personalities of the characters. Like, there are several workers on the show that, like, are incompetent. There's probably one and a half competent people in that office. My favorite character is this lady named Rhonda, who's, like, this middle-aged woman who's, like, does the PR for the department. And she's just, like, completely out of touch with what's going on. She's, like in one of the episodes we watched, she's, like, upset with the website design. And she's like, it's terrible. It's gross. Wait, it looks like a government website. And then someone's like, we are the government. And she's like, it's terrible. And she...
it's gross.
And so she always brings in this, like, designer guy whose name... What's his name? Karsten? She's Karsten has a great design for us. And they're, like, both completely out of touch. She, like, shows the staff, like, this new website they put together. And one of the staff members is like, those projects you have on there, those haven't been signed off yet. And Rhonda's like, oh, that's great. Yes, just move on forward. That's what we're all about. We're moving forward. Progress. And she's just, like, not grounded in reality at all. It cracks me up. I don't know. Very distinct personalities. But you probably have different opinions.
Yeah, I absolutely did not like the show. just another thing we don't have in common. Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I even watched... So, Andrew and I decided that we would watch the first two episodes. And I watched the first two episodes twice.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, maybe I just, like, missed something the first time. And, like, I didn't fully enjoy it. And then I watched both of them again. And I was like, I'm still not into this. I think my problem is that I think that The Office is the greatest show ever created in the history of the world. So, like... Nothing's really funny after you watch The Office.
I disagree.
Well,
I mean, Frasier's my favorite show, and, like, this isn't as good as Frasier, but it's still really great.
I don't know. I just, like, didn't think it was funny. I didn't. I was like, well, of course Andrew loves this because, like, city planning and stuff.
Or no,
like
wait.
That.
I have some quotes right here. Like, or sorry, am I cutting you off? I am cutting you off, but that's fine. Like, there's this point where they're talking about putting in a community garden.
Feels no remorse for cutting me off mid-sentence.
Where they're putting in a community garden, and, like, in this plan, it was recently publicized, and so these other, like, gardens in the area were sending them baskets of vegetables to, like, promote, like, hey, like, you can use part of our business for when you put that garden in. And one of the people in the office is like, why is this carrot purple? And then someone's like, I don't know, maybe it's because it's organic. So it's just, like, a lot of stupid people, a lot of funny timing. There's an issue with the emails, so whenever someone was, like, sending an email to someone else, they, like, would have to deliver the whole laptop to the person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so there's, like, several scenes where someone was, like, being sent a stack of laptops.
Yeah, see, I don't know, Well, see, like, okay, I also was comparing it to The Office because it was, like, in an office setting.
Uh-huh.
And so then it was, like, okay, so this main guy, Tony Woodford, he's the boss, kind of like Michael Scott. And I looked it up on the Wikipedia page, and this was the quote that, like, the description of him.
Okay.
The boss, constantly exasperated by his inability to achieve anything other than meetings, studies, and reports. And so then I was, like, okay, like... That's kind of like Michael Scott. And then I was like, but he's just not as funny. And I feel like he's trying too hard. And then his, like, incompetent secretary, Like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of annoying. Cause,
she's
like,
not my favorite character.
Well, I just thought it was annoying because, like, they have, like, Aaron is kind of incompetent, but, like, in a more silly way. I don't know. But, like, I just didn't like.
You thought they were, like, trying to mimic the office?
Yeah, I kind of thought that. And so then I was like, well, that's not really funny. And then I was like, they made her too incompetent at some points. And so then I was like, that's not really funny. Because, like, I don't know. I think, I don't know. I just didn't like that at all. Gosh. Also, I was watching this interview from the guy that created it, who's also the main character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I think maybe I just made that up, but I'm pretty sure he was the one talking on the interview.
Oh my goodness. But they're Australian. Like, they probably all sound the same.
Anyway, he was like, we have other shows that take place in the office, even though we've never worked in an office before. I thought that was really funny. And then also he was like, we don't write the satire. We're just kind of like basing it off of observations, which I also thought was kind of funny too. Because like, it is hard to write funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. I kind of like that too.
I liked it because like, I felt like it applied to like real life, like office situations, like having problems with turnover in the workplace or like,
and just like mundane things that like are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you.
What would you rate it?
Oh wait, hang on. How do we rate movies?
Letters.
Or letter. Oh, I, for some reason I thought I said numbers and then whenever you said letters, I got really confused. Letters. Okay. I would say it'd be like a C.
Okay.
Like, just average.
I'd say B+. I'd like to rank it higher, but I know I can't give A's to too many things. And if I would change anything, I would make the assistant and the receptionist, like, I'd build off of their personalities a little more, make them more interesting. Because the receptionist was just kind of ditzy, and then the assistant was, like, not intelligent at all.
Yeah. Also, I watched this really good documentary about Teddy Roosevelt, but we don't really have time to talk about that. But I have some really cool fun facts if anybody wants to hear them.
Solid.
All right, let's move to the quote jar. Wait, is this my quote?
Yep,
yes, it is! Okay. There are two types of folk, those who ain't and those who are knee-high on the grasshopper. Which type ain't you ain't?
That's
real or fake?
Fiction. It's from a fiction, or like a TV show, or a book, or something.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct! Do you know what it's from?
A Disney movie.
No, it's from The Office, when Michael Scott is trying to suck up to Joe Bennett. Shout out to Sebastian for helping me with that quote. Alrighty. Okay, also, one last thing. I have an announcement. If you haven't heard, we have switched platforms from SoundCloud to Anchor. And with the switch comes our newest platform, which is Apple Podcast. So if you have an iPhone, hit up the Apple Store because we're there.
Yeet, yeet.
Is that it? Is that it?
That's it.
Alrighty, let's do this.
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to this week's guest, Craig Birnbaum. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.